chucked him out of the truck, didn't he?
I'm not too sure about that.
Well, that was Lucky Star, by the way, who first recorded that song. Now, I know Johnny Cash did a version later, but it was Lucky Star who did it right up front with all the Aussie places. Now, the man we've got in studio now to talk about being everywhere is Robert Bonchick. He is well-travelled. Recently, he took a three-month sabbatical from duties here at the station to do some more travel, and I thought we'd get him in to talk about his latest adventure, where and how he went and what he experienced. But I want to ask you first, Rob, I know you've done a lot of overseas travel. Have you been to any of the towns in the Lucky Star song?
Well, one I recognised.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been to a few, but I can't remember all of them.
Didn't you work as a jackaroo? Isn't that a little-known fact about you?
I took off out of Caulfield at one stage and hitchhiked all the way to Townsville, and then went from there to the area around Richmond and Julia Creek. It was about 300 miles south of the Gulf of Carpentaria.
Yeah, you went jackarooing. Was it because there was a Jillaroo up there, or
No. I just want to get away from Caulfield.
Oh well, I can understand that.
To be honest.
So what does a jackaroo do in Julia Creek?
Oh well, I ended up on 86,000 acres of sheep and cattle. We rounded up sheep, we rounded up cattle. We worked just in the outback.
On horses, or
absolutely back in those days. Definitely on horses.
That's all you got.
That's all you got.
Yeah.
And they said, "Can you ride?" And I said, "Well, I did in school holidays, and I had to learn."
You told a porky, but you got away with it.
No. They whacked the horse on the backside, and it took off.
And you hung on for dear life.
I hung on for dear life.
Now, you're saying to us off air that one of the reasons you went on this trip was, but you had a friend having a wedding, the daughter's wedding, and
that's right,
and the French Riviera. Of all places.
In 2015, I met this couple in the Jewish, of all places, the Jewish Museum in Istanbul. It was a French couple. He's a dentist and she's a doctor. And we got on very well. We spent a bit of time together in Istanbul, a few meals and drinks, etc. And I was going from there to Israel. And they said, when you come to Europe, come and visit us in France, which I did. On that last, not this trip, the trip before.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in Caen, very nice town on the Riviera, up in the hills overlooking the Mediterranean and the city. He practiced his dentistry there and she was a doctor there as well. And then they came and visited here in Australia and we had a lot of fun down here.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year ago they said to me their daughter's getting married and I got invited to the wedding party.
That's in fantastic.
Caen. They said, come and stay with us. So I thought, well, I'll make a bit of a trip out of it, go to Israel first, which I spent a month in Israel,
mm-hmm.
which is always great, and then went to France, Paris for a week, took the TGV down to Caen, had a couple of weeks in Caen, grabbed a car, drove around Provence, over the Alps, the French Alps, and then to Turin,
or
Torino, great city.
Torino, yeah. Well, you're a bit of a car enthusiast, so that's a great city for that.
The museum, the car museum in Turin is second to none. It is absolutely fantastic, definitely worth seeing.
Hmm.
And the other museum, the Egyptian Museum, which is supposed to be the second biggest in the world. They were very good at going over there and getting everything they could and taking it back to Italy.
Well, a lot of that stuff's getting dragged back now to where they've come from, aren't they?
They want it back. Yeah, a lot of the countries want all sorts of stuff back from different people that don't but over there just helping themselves to whatever they could get their hands on.
Mm.
But the building it's in is a very, very old building in the old part of Turin, in the centre.
Right.
And the way they've got everything set up in there in the Egyptian Museum is second to none. It's beautifully curated and just the presentation, the description on the headphones when you're walking around of everything is just great, worth seeing.
Okay.
And
Veronica.
Driving, what was driving like in Europe?
Driving's
no problem.
Driving's great in Europe, better than here. You know, you've got the good freeways, except
they're very
expensive.
They're very fast, though, aren't they?
They drive fast. They don't muck around.
But and you people, like that, yeah?
People don't sit hogging the whole road. If you don't stay to the right over there, you're in real trouble.
And
here, they sit in the fast lane, and you can't get anywhere.
What about language? I mean, when you...
Everybody understands sign language when you're driving.
That's right. You used a bit, did you? Were you in a convertible?
No.
Hand out the window.
No.
Yeah.
Did you lose your way at all?
No, GPS is pretty good. It's all right.
But
I've done a lot of driving overseas.
Yeah.
When I lived in Aspen, I was running an airport cab and limo company, and drove. We didn't have GPS then either. It was a whole different ballgame, driving on the other side of the road and in very snow, icy conditions in the winter in the mountains.
So tell us about Israel. You do go there quite a bit.
Yeah, I've been going there a long time. I've been going there since the Six-Day War. I flew from here to Israel as a volunteer.
Right.
In the Six-Day War. Landed on day four, that's right, in Tel Aviv.
Mm.
And they sent us straight to kibbutz because everybody from the kibbutz was in the army.
Right.
So we had to look after the farm.
So you were tilling the soil? That's the right word, isn't it? Tilling the soil? What were you doing?
Picking apricots, mishmish.
Oh, yeah.
Apricots.
Okay.
Picking apricots and looking after, feeding the cows and et cetera, whatever have you. But that was easy because I'd done the stint up in Queensland. Queensland, not Shepparton.
Right. A lot of apricots in Shepparton.
Yes.
So where do you stay in Israel?
When I first arrived, I stayed in Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hotels in the center of town. I've forgotten the name of the hotel now. I should have.
Do you feel secure when you're there?
Oh yeah, very.
Yeah.
I have never felt any issues with security in Israel. I tell you, South America, that's where you've got to worry about security. But no, Israel's fine.
Right, and Jerusalem, you stay in the old city.
I stayed in the centre of the city, not in the actual old city, not inside the wall, the old city, but I stayed in the centre of the city. Caught up with one of our broadcasters there, Walter Bingham.
Yes.
He does a show here on, he dropboxes the show to us. He's amazing, 93 years of age, and just goes out, interviews people, goes home, saw his whole setup at home, editing suite, does everything himself.
And he's 93.
93.
He's obviously got all his marbles.
Absolutely, plus a few more.
Yeah, well, that's great, isn't it, to have people of that age who enjoy that.
Then I spent some time with Professor Ephraim Imbar from the Jerusalem Institute of Strategic Studies, and he gave me a very interesting insight into what was happening there and drove me around to different areas of Jerusalem, which was great. It was good fun. Caught up with Steve Lindy, who used to be the editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post and a bunch of other journalists. They had a big function one night in Jerusalem for the journalists over there. And I was invited as a guest from overseas.
As a broadcaster?
As a broadcaster, yeah. Which was very nice.
And excellent.
Met quite a lot of interesting people there. And then Effie, who goes on to Morris Klein's show, he's a great tourist guide. And spent a day with him, drove me around all over the place, had a nice lunch, good time.
Yep.
Then I decided to drive. I wanted to get down to Eilat and I wanted to have a drive through the Negev, which was fantastic, always is. Did lots of photographs of incredible areas and rock formations. Had a day in Eilat and then drove back to Jerusalem.
Okay, fantastic.
Was your last stop on the trip? Or
yep, that was at Jerusalem and then back to, I had a night or two in Tel Aviv before taking the flight out of Tel Aviv to Paris. But a funny thing, I walked into this shop in Tel Aviv, which sold sort of all sort of junky radio stuff and they're playing music.
Mm.
And I said, can you use your computer to get music on? And I put Jay Air on. And they said, oh, this is very good. And they were listening. I said, oh, well, I'll catch you later. And I walked past the next day. They said, this is the best station we could get.
Ah.
There's no commercials. And they play all the greatest Israeli music.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it.
These whackers come on talking about travel and they go, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's it in English.
Exactly. So, Rob, of all the places you've been, and we've only touched on a mere fraction, what's the most memorable experience that you've had overseas?
I'd say probably living in Aspen.
Right.
That was amazing living there. Summer and winter, living there year round.
Right. I mean, it looks fantastic in winter.
It's beautiful in the summer.
And what happens there in summer? They don't ski, but what do they do?
Well, you can drive everywhere to start with.
Right.
A lot of the passes are closed in the winter because they're so heavily snowed and the roads are very narrow and there's no way they could keep them over. You go over Independence Pass, that's at 12,000 plus feet above sea level. Aspen, the town of Aspen's at 8, so you're going up another 4,000 feet, and that's the top of Aspen Mountain. Mm. And you ski from 12,000 feet down to 8, so you've got
oxygen country.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think if you're flying a plane, you've got to have oxygen at 10,000 and above.
Right.
I think that's one of the rules, but I'm not sure I don't fly. No. Well, I do. But
well, on skis.
No.
So do you
sit
ski?
In the comfortable part.
Oh, yeah, he skis.
Yeah, yeah. I skied. I went there to ski.
And how long were you there for?
5 years.
Oh, wow.
A real tour. I had one winter, I remember I skied 120 days. It was amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Just fantastic.
Right. And
waist-deep powder.
Well, I've not experienced that. I'm not a skier.
No.
But that does sound enticing, just even to fall in it or, you know, rush through it.
But a great place to ski now is Japan.
Everybody's going there.
8 hours, virtually the same time zone. Yeah. Lift tickets when I was there 3 years ago were $40 a day. They get all on the island of Hokkaido, the northern island. They get between 11 to 15 meters of snow through the winter.
Wow.
It all comes across from Siberia, Russian snow.
Mm.
And dumps, and they don't pay anything for it.
Yeah.
The Russians just export it.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's not full of Chernobyl fallout or anything.
That's great stuff. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you've got the onsen, which is just heaven after a day's skiing.
Yeah.
And beautiful Japanese food.
Indeed. Yeah.
And it's very reasonable to stay in these places.
Mm.
So, Tokyo, if you stay in a fancy hotel, or Kyoto in the fancy hotels, yes, they can be expensive. But the ski resorts have got lovely places at very reasonable prices.
Mm. And you've sort of touched on it. I was going to ask you, what's been your favourite food and or beverage experience on your travels overseas?
Paris.
Right. Anything particular? Anywhere particular in Paris? There's a lot of restaurants there.
I can't.
You just like French food?
French food is great. And the bakeries, you know, the patisserie.
Yeah. And what do you drink? French wine.
Good red, yes.
Okay.
They've got plenty of that there.
Japan, the sake, it's delicious. It's very interesting, the whole process of making sake and the different qualities and how they polish the rice. And the finer the rice is polished, the better quality they'll make.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, there was a documentary on it about 2 or 3 weeks ago on TV.
So the actual rice grains are treated in some way before they ever hit the liquid.
Oh, yeah. They polish them.
Tumbled it?
They must. I'm sure they're not polishing piece by piece.
Yeah, really expensive, wouldn't it?
It'd take a long time.
Hey, rice shine boy. Yeah, okay. I didn't know that. I've had sake a couple of times. I thought it was okay, but you get that type of drink in most Asian countries. Indonesia's got their version, and Vietnam's got a version. Korea's got one. If you're not careful, you'll be legless in no time. It's just a white spirit or a clear spirit.
Yeah, and then don't forget India. Some of the stuff they've got there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, travelled India too.
Yeah.
From one end to the other.
Well, mate, you're just living up to Lucky Star now.
Uh-huh.
You have been everywhere. Where haven't you been? Where do you want to go next?
The Antarctic.
Yep.
And on a decent safari in Africa.
Okay.
Not where there's a zillion people running around with jeeps all over the place. I'd like to get into a bit of remote areas.
I'll put you on to our photographic expert. I spoke to him today. He'll be on in with us next week. He's just come back from Kenya.
Right.
Shooting flamingos and lion cubs.
Great.
I had a fantastic time.
Good.
So I'll put you in touch with Ewan Bell. He's also going somewhere else, Bhutan.
I've been to Bhutan.
Bhutan. So
Bhutan is a good place.
And he leads photographic tours, so you'll enjoy that.
Yeah. You've been everywhere.
He has.
I've still got the Antarctic and the African one to do.
He's been everywhere but absent from the microphone, hasn't he?
That's it.
Indeed.
Yeah,
well, Robert,
use him more often.
Yeah, thanks for coming in and chatting with us. I know it's all very brief, but you have a bigger slice of our show than anyone ever gets. Okay, I hope you understand the deference that we've paid to you today on our 200th anniversary. And yeah, I didn't see his cake. Did you see? Did he turn up with a cake for us?
No, I invited you out for dinner after him. You said you had too much to do.
I do.
There you go.
So, anyway.
So 200. Yeah, it's been 6 years.
Nearly five.
Yeah, but when I built the first studios and got Jay Air.
On the internet.
On the internet, and then we went on air.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Well, it's been an interesting experience. So thanks again for being with us today, Rob.
I don't want to hear any more stories.
No, we've had enough. You're listening to The Travel Writers Show on J Air 87.8 FM.